show. Confetti.
Welcome. Thank you for joining me. My name is Debbie Quain, and you are listening to a special episode of Confetti Radio, the wedding planning business talk show. I want to share with you an interview that I conducted with a wonderful day of wedding coordinator. A day of wedding coordinator is someone who helps brides towards the tail end of the wedding planning process. So the bride and groom have done all the planning themselves, or most of the planning, and then usually during the last few weeks, usually 4 to 6 weeks of the wedding planning process, a day of coordinator steps in. So Colleen Bauer runs a business, and her business that does that. And the name of her business is A Bride's Fairy Godmother. I did this interview a few months ago, and Colleen is still running her business successfully. And I want you to listen out for some information that you can learn if you're wondering how you can get your wedding business off the ground, because Colleen does have a full-time job and she's able to manage this business very well. I want you to listen to how she assigns roles for her staff on the wedding day itself, and also how important it is to know who your target bride is. And it may surprise you. Sometimes you think you know who your target bride is, but as you go forward, you realize that there's another secondary type of target bride. And I say bride in quotation marks, and you'll understand when you listen. So here is my interview with Colleen Bauer of A Bride's Fairy Godmother. Enjoy. Okay, so we have the wonderful, it's Colleen, right? I always say Colleen. Colleen, I'll have
Colleen,
to remember that.
Fine.
Colleen Bauer, who is a wedding planner based in Bakersfield, California, right? And Colleen runs the name of her company is A Bride's Fairy Godmother. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And we're going to talk a little bit about what Colleen does. And I want this to be an inspiration for anyone who's thinking that they cannot do this, because Colleen's going to share with us how she runs her business and hopefully share a few inside tricks and tips to help those of us who are a little wary, who aren't quite sure if this is what they want to do or how to move forward. Does that sound fair?
Sounds good.
Okay, great. So hi, Colleen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, I sort of gave an intro about your business. Is there a better way for you to describe it than I did? Could you tell us a little bit more, like how you got started?
I actually didn't set out to be a wedding coordinator or a wedding planner. I have done events and weddings and things for a very long time, and it was from a conference at a couple of vendors that said, you know, you really should be doing this. And I said, you know, I've got a great job. I love what I do. I work for a bank full time. And they said, just do day of. And I thought, well, okay, what is a day of coordinator? And so I did a little homework and spent about 4 or 5 months looking at who's the competition, what do the day of coordinators do in the different areas, and how bigger cities, how do they handle the business? And then what I actually did, Debbie, is that I did a friend's wedding. I called her, she was getting married, and I said, I want to coordinate your wedding. I'm not going to charge you, I want to do it for free. I want to know, you know, am I good at it? Do I like it? I want to get your thoughts. And after that first wedding, I was hooked. Like, it was easy. You know, I loved it, and the feedback was really good, and I sat down with her, and she really was very, very helpful, because I asked her, I thought, you know, who better than to ask than the bride? And I asked, and her name is Megan, and I asked Megan, I said, you know, tell me, how did you hear about your flower person? You know, how did you, all the vendors, I asked her how she heard about them, where she heard, and that really helped me to kind of launch.
Excellent.
Where I was going to start.
Wonderful, wonderful. So prior to planning Megan's wedding, how much involvement did you have with weddings? I mean, how did you know what to do? How did you know where to begin with the planning process?
Well, I had my own wedding, and then there's 4 girls in that family, so 2 of my other sisters also got married. And then I had several friends that had been married. So other than just either being in a wedding or being part of a wedding, I had never planned a wedding.
Okay.
So, you know, my first wedding with Megan, I felt like, okay, my job is going to be to, you know, stick very close to her and to follow a timeline with her and to work with the vendors. And so it was trial by error. I mean, I really, you know, just kind of learned as I went. And just, you know, I think if you are a natural at it, you'll pick it up very quickly. And you'll know right. what needs to be done. You just continue to improve. And I mean, even now, 3 years later, I still learn things. You know, I still go to a wedding. And after every wedding, we come back and write down, okay, what could we have done differently? You know, what went well? And what value do we add? We always look at that.
Excellent. Okay. Now you're yeah. saying we. Yeah. So how many, it's not just you planning now, huh?
So we have, there's 5 coordinators on the team, and then we have 5 assistants. Every wedding comes with a second coordinator.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
5 coordinators and 5 assistants.
Yeah.
So they don't all work the same wedding together?
Right. Each coordinator works her own wedding, and what happens is all the weddings come into my phone number, and then I kind of pre-interview the bride a little bit to find out what mm-hmm. the style is. And then, of course, I look at we have a master calendar when everybody's available. So what the other coordinators do is they'll tell me what dates, you know, are good for them, what dates are not good for them. So I'll look at that calendar, I look at the personality, and then I match them up with the right coordinator. And I'll explain to the bride that, you know, Lucita would be the one I would recommend for you, or Denise would be the one I would recommend for you. You know, are you okay with me giving, you know, your information to her? And they always say yes. And immediately I call the coordinator. And our rule is turn around and call that bride back within 2 hours if at all possible. So that it's quick. She's getting a quick response. And so then I kind of back away because I feel like the bride really needs to make that, you know, the relationship needs to be with her and the coordinator. And so that coordinator then steps in and then they take over from there. And then, so all the coordinators will book their weddings, and then we fill the assistants in based on their schedule.
Okay, wonderful. So what we're talking about right now, is that primarily just the day of or day of plan? Okay.
Of the 5 of us, only 2 of us do full-fledged planning.
Okay. Are you one of those 2?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So how did you find these folks who are your coordinators? Are these people who have their own wedding business, or just they just have a desire to plan weddings? How did you make that connection?
Really, the first coordinator that we brought on was a really good friend of mine that had done events with me for a really long time at the bank where I worked. And so what happened is I did my first wedding, I did my second wedding, my third wedding was a big wedding. There was 300 people, and the mother said, well, I want a fairy godmother here, and then I want a fairy godmother at my home at the reception site. And I said, sure, no problem. I got in the car, and I called Denise and said, I hope you're not busy because I just booked for a wedding.
Because I've already kind of thought, decided you're going to be there, right?
She said, I'd love to, let's do it, and she's been with me ever since. So, and then the others, they found me. Through Facebook or word of mouth. And we've got a pretty good process now when the coordinators are coming in. You know, we bring them in and kind of have them in like a probationary period, and they're kind of interns for a while. And then from there, they become assistants. So they really don't become a full-fledged coordinator until they've been with us for a little while. And when their assistants meet, they don't really hear anything about the business. We don't share anything. They don't come to the big meetings. They really just come for the 4 hours that we need them there for when the wedding's really busy.
So that's the, I was going to ask that, yeah. What, hold on a moment.
We have them there, Denise, an hour before the wedding actually starts for the ceremony. And then we have them 3 hours after, because that's your real busy time. And so, and we, as a team, we've decided that the assistants are responsible for the vendors and responsible for the guests. And then the lead coordinator is responsible for the bridal party and the bride and the family. So that's how we do
that. Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. So there are very definite roles for coordinator versus assistant. And the goal is that the assistant at some point will become a coordinator.
If they choose to. Sometimes they come in and they just want to be part of the wedding, and they just want to work part-time. And you know, we'll get people, and we even have an intern section on our website now because we've had so many requests that I felt like, okay, I need to put something on there so people know, you know, kind of how we handle it. And the assistant, like I said, sometimes they just want to stay and they just want to work part-time. I always tell them when they come in that, you know, when you're first coming on board, this is not going to put dinner on the table. You know, if you're looking for that type of, you know, position, this is not it, because you have to start, you know, from the ground and build your way up. But it's a great opportunity for them. But I'm very upfront with them. I tell them, you know, this is how it works. You might work 2 hours this month, and then next month you might work 20 hours, you know.
Okay.
So, and we try and give them their schedule pretty far in advance so they can plan their lives too.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. So is there any training prior to the actual wedding day that you do? What kind? How do you prep someone who maybe hasn't worked with your company before?
Well, first of all, we sit down with them and we kind of have a, it's kind of like a playbook where we talk to them a little bit about what our philosophy is. And we have a little saying, the fairy godmother, that we bring the fairy tale feeling to everybody you come in contact with. And so we want to make sure that the assistants immediately know that everybody they come in contact with, whether it's the waitress or the waiter or the busboy or, you know, the grandfather or the grandmother, everybody should feel like they've been taken care of by fairy godmother. And we do quite a bit of kind of screening before we even bring them in. We ask for references. We check the references. Almost every single one of them has a Facebook page. I look through their Facebook page. I look at, you know, back-ends and comments, and because you get a really good feel for people on Facebook. And it's true what people say, that employers do look at Facebook. And so we learn a lot from that. And then I sit with them, and many times you can just tell. And then before we bring them in, they'll sit with me, and I usually sit with one or two other coordinators. And between us as a group, we usually have a pretty good feel for who's going to work and who isn't. And then they will shadow another assistant coordinator for 2 to 3 weddings, and that's kind of their internship. And mm-hmm.
Is that paid? They get paid for that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we let them know that, you know, the 3 or 4 weddings, sometimes it's 3 weddings, sometimes it's 2, but a minimum of 3 weddings that they have to work those 3 weddings before we'll put them on as a true, you know, full-fledged assistant. And you can tell, Denise, the first wedding, you can tell if they're going to make it. Because they have to be very proactive. They have to be able to look beyond just getting direction from us. You know, if I tell them, since we're a guest, it's walking in with 3 gifts. He doesn't know where the gifts go. That's your job. Like, they should automatically know that without me having to say to them, go grab that gift.
Right. You know, that instinct should be there.
Yeah, it should just be there. So, and we've had cases where it hasn't been, and we've had to tell the girls, this is, you know, you're wonderful, you're a sweetheart, but this is not the spot for you.
Wow. So that has happened.
It has. The best part.
Okay, hold on. I lost my ear. I told you I was going to have issues with the speaker here. Okay, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, so sounds like you've got a pretty good system worked out there. That's with regard to your staff. How do most of your clients find out about a bride's fairy godmother? How are your customers finding you?
When we first started, Debbie, we started very slowly and very quietly. And we did that on purpose because we really wanted to make sure we knew what we were doing before we, you know, went out and did bridal shows, but did marketing and advertising. And we started off really by networking with the vendors, you know, finding out, you know, who the top vendors are and looking at, you know, who are the top 5 photographers, top 5 florists. And you do that really just by talking to people. You're just going and meeting people, introducing yourself. And it does take a while because the vendor world is very tight. And they're not very trusting, and especially when we came on board, I don't know, there must have been a really bad rap of coordinators because nobody, you know, it was very difficult to break through. They really didn't want to work with us. They didn't like wedding planners or wedding coordinators. The first wedding I did, the caterer wouldn't talk to me the entire wedding until almost the end of the wedding, and I kept thinking, what have I done to this lady? And she said towards the end of the wedding, I have to apologize. I had a really bad experience. I wasn't happy when she told me she was going to have a coordinator because the coordinator at the previous wedding spent the entire wedding bossing me around. So you have to earn their respect. And when you do that, they're wonderful referrals. I mean, they give wonderful referrals. And they're solid, solid referrals and solid leads. So that's where we focused at first.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I'm a big advocate of planners reaching out to wedding vendors because, of course, a lot of folks ask, how do I get business? How do I get leads? And I always say you cannot just sit at home and, you know, yes, Facebook and Twitter are all important elements in your website, but you have to get out there and meet the folks that you're working with because you cannot plan this wedding by yourself. You need a team of people. So you have to make friends and they have to know about you. But as you say, it's important that you earn your dues because I think a lot of planners that, I mean, it's not hard for anyone to put a website and print a business card and say, I'm a wedding planner, but the reality is, can they really, you know, deliver? And I think, unfortunately for us in this industry as planners, there have been a lot of folks that sort of put a sour taste in the mouths of vendors, which may explain why you got the reaction you did.
Yeah, well, that's funny that you said that, because when I first started, I had a really good friend that is the owner of the Bridal Association here in Bakersfield, and he's one of the first persons that I went to, and he said, and I always remind him of this, and he laughed. He said, "I can't believe you remember that conversation." I said, "Oh, I remember it verbatim." And he said, I was talking to him and telling him I was thinking about doing this, and said, "Colleen, if you do this, you have to do it and do it right." He said, you know, photographers and DJs and even videographers, when they get into the business, they stay because of the amount of equipment that they have to purchase, you know, to be in the business.
That's their investment, yeah.
And he said, you know, coordinators, just like what you said, Debbie, they order business cards and they set up a website and they're ready to go. And he said, so coordinators come and go, Colleen. He said, I probably get 2 to 3 a month. And he said, so when you come in, you have to come in and do it the right way, and you have to stick with it. You can't just stick with it for 3 months and go away, because that's your reputation. And I remember that.
That's valuable. And, you know, you bring up a point that I hadn't even thought about. Because of our low investment, I guess it's just,
yeah,
no big deal. It hasn't worked out. I'm going to back away. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, the videographer and photographer, DJ, yeah, there's a lot that they're writing on there. So
yeah.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. So what kind of expenses do you have with your business? I mean, beyond the normal expenses with the business, but is there anything that stands out for your wedding business that you have to keep in mind?
We have a website designer. I'm not techie, and I have learned that it's better to pay people that know what they're doing, and you can find people that will not charge you an arm and a leg. You just have to really, you know, work hard to find those people. But we do pay for a website designer. We do have a person who does our graphic designing for our invitations and our brochures, our business cards and things like that. So paper supplies is, you know, expensive.
Oh, so you have, so your marketing materials. So what type, and that's a great segue. So what marketing materials do you have? I mean, your website, I know you have, but.
One of the things that, I'll have to take a picture of everything we have and I'll send it to you. I'm really proud of it. And that was another thing that Kyle had said, is that, you know, when you do this, make sure you brand yourself and you brand yourself well. And I think because I had spent so much time before I actually started the business branding and getting everything ready, that when I started the business, I had everything ready to go. And people said right away, gosh, you branded yourself so fast. But the name Fairy Godmother, which is the name of our business, it was easy, you know, because everybody wants a fairy godmother. So the tagline and the magical and the, you know, all of that is so easy to build things around. But we have thank you cards that have our fairy godmother on them. We have stickers. We have return labels. We have envelopes. We have all of our brochures, our business cards, and then our timeline, our information document. Everything has a little fairy on it. So people right away, I mean, literally in Bakersfield, if they just saw the fairy without the name, they would know it was Fairy Godmother.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, it worked, and we did one wedding, and we had some logo shirts made, and I noticed that the photographer kept photographing us in the back, because we were doing things like pinning the dress or bustling or, you know, serving something, and so it was always the back end of us. So we put our logo, Debbie, across that, you know, across the back. So then Photoshop, you know, it's
like, oh, wonderful.
You have to wear that marketing hat all the time.
Yes, indeed.
And I think that by giving it a name instead of it being my name, it made it easier to sell.
Really?
Yeah, because now it's a company. And it's funny, because the first maybe 6 months, my nephew said, stop saying I. You need to make it about we. You need to think bigger. And I kept thinking, well, it's just me. And he said, no, it's you and Denise, but you need to think bigger than that. And I never thought, you know, we'd be where we were at now, but I couldn't have done it had it been, I guess you could, but having it under Fairy Godmother, now I can have lots of Fairy Godmothers. And it's cute, because we'll have a bride or a vendor say, well, Fairy Godmother Leticia, Fairy Godmother Yessi, or, you know, and that's how they identify them. But and we're at weddings and people won't remember our name, but they'll remember Fairy Godmother.
So that's, I think, awesome. That,
it's important when you're thinking of your name to think of something creative, you know, and we spent money on having the logo made, which, you know, and that's
good.
So I think by working full time, I was able to do that. You know, rather than
you mean working a full time job?
Yeah, because I had the income coming in to be able to pay for a marketing person, you know, a graphic designer to design a logo, and then I was able to do the stationery and do the cards and, you know, the brochures and the website. So when we came live, it was everything all at once and people right away. I remember I was with a videographer, actually a gentleman that did the video on our site right now. I had only been in business, genuinely much. I've been in business for 5 months, and he said to me, "I have never seen a wedding vendor brand themselves so quickly." But what he didn't know is that I actually had started doing my homework in August and didn't do my first wedding until December. So I had done a lot of the work, but nobody knew.
Excellent, you did your homework.
Yeah.
Girl, I love that. I love that, and you're so on point. And we cannot be, I mean, we're small companies, but we can take the bits and pieces of what the larger companies are doing. I mean, they've got the budget. They've got people who are just focused on doing that. But you can still take elements and do what you have done, which is brand your company so well. I've never forgotten your business name. I mean, Fairy Godmother. And as you said, it makes perfect sense because who doesn't want that? And on your wedding day, that's the ideal time to have someone who's in your corner and really has your best, you know, wants the best for you. And that's what a fairy godmother is. Awesome. If you had to start again and do things differently, can you think of anything that you might do a different way?
When I first started, I did bring in a gal that I wouldn't have brought in again. I don't think I was as careful as I am now. She has since gone, but her, and then I had another gal that I brought in that, you know, your instinct is telling you, I don't think she's gonna make it, but I kept trying to get her to make it, you know, that kind of thing. So I've learned to really pay attention and listen to my instinct. Whereas when I first started, I thought, oh, they're nice, they're sweet, you know, they'll work out, we'll have them do it. And yes. I learned that, no, you need to listen. So listen to my instincts.
I would have listened good. To
my yeah.
Okay.
And especially when it comes to bringing people into your business, I was very protective, and I did, you know, a very good job on my agreements and protected the company that way. But I think I would have been a little bit more careful.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Lessons learned, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And nothing bad happened, but it just wasn't fun. You know, she did leave the company. It was difficult. But and then recently, you know, every once in a while, somebody will want to interview us and we'll sit down with them. And I'll say, oh, she's really nice, but there's some things not quite right. Well, maybe we can bring her on and let her try. And now I've learned and said, oh, no, your gut's telling you. You need to listen to that.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that? And it's, I think because we try to justify the feeling. And I do it too, Colleen. I sense it. And then I think, I don't know why I'm sensing it. And then I go against it. And almost always it comes back to bite me in the butt. So we need to sort of listen to that instinct. And even if we don't know why, something's going on and it hasn't presented itself to explain, you know, the full explanation hasn't presented itself, but we just need to
overanalyze, you know.
Yeah.
And we're like, we just need to listen to it and move on. And I learned that. So it's a hard way, of course.
Yes, indeed. Who is your target bride? If you had to define your bride, who is she?
You know, it's interesting because when I first started, I didn't really have a target bride. I knew that I wasn't interested in wedding planning, which sounds crazy, probably, because I think a lot of people right out the gate decide, I want to be a wedding planner, and I wasn't interested in being a wedding planner at all. And I think part of it is because I worked a full-time job, and I thought in order to really do a good job, I really can't plan an entire wedding unless I do one or two a year. But to come out the gate and say, I want to be a wedding planner, I didn't feel it was the right thing to do. So I really targeted brides that knew what they wanted, they were organized, but they really wanted somebody else to take care of them that day. And so I didn't go out and say, I'm looking for that particular bride, but when I talked to them about what we did, you know, I kind of reminded them. It's been interesting because we have had a lot of moms with us, which, you know, that was a market that we never really paid attention to, and we pay closer attention to it now. So when a mom and a bride comes up to our booth, you know, at a bridal event, we focus in on the mom, whereas before we focus in on the bride, because the moms don't want to work. the bride saying, I don't need anybody that day. Mom will take care of me, or my bride, you know, my maid of honor will take care of me. And the bride, the mothers are saying, oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to, I want to be there with you. I don't want to be handling where is the caterer, why hasn't champagne been, you know, coursed, who's cutting the cake. The moms don't. And so we focus more on the moms than we ever have before.
That's an excellent point, and I didn't even think of that. So it's almost like you have your primary, your target customer, and then secondary. And it seems like mom, who might have been secondary initially, is sort of at the forefront. So
I think it's interesting. I think a lot of people focus in on high end brides. They're trying to get the high end bride because that's who's going to pay to have us there. And we have not found that. We have found that there's, you know, brides out there that are paying for their entire wedding, and they will pay to have us there because, you know, we're like the insurance policy that the $15,000 wedding, if they have spent out of their pocket, we're that insurance that wedding's going to go off, and it's going to go off without a hitch. And so we don't really, I mean, we love high-end weddings. We love weddings that don't have any budget at all. Those are really fun to do. But we have a lot of, we actually did a study last year, and we started asking all of our brides what they did for a living, not because we wanted to be nosy, but because we wanted to find out, what type of brides are we booking? What type of brides, you know, are coming to us?
Excellent.
And 80% of our brides are in the medical field. They were nurses, physician's assistants, x-ray technicians. And I think a lot of that is because they work 12-hour shifts 4 days a week. You know, they wanted somebody else. So it was that we didn't realize we were tapping into it.
That's wonderful. So you've got, that's a marketing avenue right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, once you know who your bride is, it's much easier to find her and market to her, right?
Right.
Living proof of that.
Very true.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic, Colleen. I knew you were a smart cookie. I knew that, and you've just proven that, to all of us. So how can we learn more about your company? Tell us, what's the best way for someone to find out about
the bride's
father and mother?
Two ways, actually. If they go to our website, which is, it's the letter A, and then bride, B-R-I-T-E-S, fairygodmother.com. So www.abridesfairygodmother.com.
Okay.
There's a lot of information on the website. Our bio is on there. We have several YouTube videos. We have a blog on there. And then the other way is through our Facebook page, which is actually just Fairy Godmother Day of Wedding Coordinating Service. And they'll see the little fairy, and they'll know that they're in the right spot. So
your brand.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Is it your goal to make this a full-time venture, Colleen?
I say yes, and I've had a couple of vendors that have met with me and have said, when are you going to do this full-time? Like, you really, you know, need to be doing it full-time, which is kind of neat because a couple of the vendors have been mentors of mine. That's the other thing that's really important, too, is that go out and speak, whether it be this particular mentor is a big DJ company in town. They do DJ lighting and furniture, and I've always kind of been in awe of them because they're very professional. They've been in the 15 years, very high-end vendor. And so I kind of, you know, I seek them to be my mentor, and they have mentored me ever since. And they're the ones that from time to time they'll take my lunch and say, okay, you're going to do this full-time now? Because they know that, you know, when I do it full-time, my business will take off. Their business, you know, will be better off, though, because I refer them a lot of business. But yes, I do want to. My difficulty is I love what I do at the bank, and the bank knows that I do Fairy Godmother, and I do a lot of the bank's events. So the two right now complement each other, which is really nice. And I am learning to not do quite as many weddings and to refer more weddings to the girls and to spend more time marketing the business.
So love that.
That's where I'm at right now anyway.
Wonderful. Okay, well, Colleen, thank you so much for sharing. Can I ask you this so that everyone can see, so I have proof and I have an audience. Will you come back again and give us an update?
I'd love
And we can, in a few, okay, wonderful. You guys, you heard her say it, so she cannot back out. Thank you so much, Colleen. That was a really great interview. We got a lot of good information there. I hope you found this beneficial. Check out Colleen's website at abridesfairygodmother.com, and she's living proof, tongue-tied as usual, living proof that you can get your wedding business off the ground even with a full-time job. It's a great way to have some income coming in. As Colleen talked about, she was able to get her branding and a lot of the graphics and website taken care of, because of that income coming in from their full-time job. So it's a good way to dip your toe in the water, as it were. Okay? You can listen to more episodes of Confetti at the ConfettiRadio.com website, of course, ConfettiRadio.com. Confetti is also available on iTunes and on Stitcher Smart Radio. If you are interested in becoming a wedding planner, check out WeddingsForLiving.com for free information. And if you'd like to start your own wedding planning business, specifically a part-time wedding planning business similar to what Colleen does, then check out Wedding Business Guide. You'll find downloadable forms, audio tutorials, video tutorials, and much more, including monthly live classes. So that's at weddingbusinessguide.com. Okay, my name is Debbie Quain. Thank you for joining me. Please check out ConfettiRadio.com for more information about this show and also how you can participate in our live weekly broadcasts. As always, lots of love and success. Take care.